Thank you for joining with us here this evening in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen in County Fermanagh. Wherever you are listening in online, we welcome you in the Lord's great name. Our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you tonight through the word of the Lord. If you're a believer in Christ, may you be strengthened and blessed and led on with the Lord in your Christian life and in your walk with God. But if you know not the Lord as Savior, our prayer burden is that you would come to know and trust the Lord as your own and personal Savior. You can listen in to our online ministry here every Lord's Day, every Sunday at 12 noon, and then 7 p.m. in the evening, and then every midweek, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at our Bible study. And if you're able to join with us, and we would be glad that you could maybe join and encourage others as well to join with us around the Word of God. Our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you in the Saviour's name. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is the Bible study. We'll be long to take God's word and bring God's word. And then Friday night, 8 o'clock, our youth fellowship meeting via Zoom. We encourage all the young people to get involved in that and that the Lord would bless them. Our brother, Mr. Ian Moore, youth leader, is in charge of that. Saturday, the 30th of January, our presbytery is having a day of prayer. And it's really via Zoom. The last time that this, a few weeks ago, there was some 400 people registered for that. We encourage as many as possible also this Saturday to register for that. The prayer times are from 10 to 11:30 a.m. in the morning, and then from 2 to 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. The speakers are the Reverend Greer and the Reverend Dean. And it's open to all members and friends of our congregations. And if you want to log into that, do contact any of our elders or myself, minister of the congregation here, and we'll be glad to give you the necessary details. The next Lord's Day, the 31st of January, services in the morning, 12 noon, the evening at 7 p.m., and God willing, I belong to bring God's precious word. As we mentioned this morning, do please pray for our brother, Mr. Richard Edwards, a member of the Youth Fellowship, now represents the Youth Council here in the West. The various youth fellowships connected with our church in the West. So pray for him. The Lord would bless him and also make him a blessing in that work as he helps out with the youth in our various congregations here in the west of the province. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're just going to seek the Lord in a word of prayer. And I encourage you, wherever you are listening in, to join with us in prayer. Get out your Bible as well and look up the scriptures with us tonight and just pray the Lord will draw near, that we'll know much of the presence and the blessing of the Lord, and that the Lord would speak to hearts as the Lord alone would see that need this evening. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do gather, Lord, before thee in this the evening of thy day. And we come to thee in the precious and worthy name of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we thank thee tonight for the great hope of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. We thank thee, O God, for the perfect life of Christ. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for his atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank thee that upon that cross he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Father, we praise thee that with his stripes we are healed. We thank thee for the blood of Christ, the blood of sprinkling, that speak of better things than that of Abel's. And Father, we thank thee that Christ has opened up that way for us. And we thank thee for that new and that living way by which, O God, we can approach unto thee, the eternal and the mighty God of heaven. Father, we thank thee for thy mercies and blessings to us throughout this thine own day. And O Lord, we may not be meeting in fashion that we normally would have done in times gone by. Yet, O God, we thank thee that thou hast promised to be near thy people. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy and presence and blessing to us throughout today. But Father, we do need thee afresh, O God, tonight in this gospel meeting. We realize, O God, we cannot rest upon past blessings. Lord, thy word declares that without thee we can do nothing. We cannot even create an anxious thought. Yet, O God, we're looking to thee tonight for help and for blessing in the ministry of thy word this evening. Do remember, Lord, those that have come to sing. We thank thee for them, and we pray that thou will bless them tonight as they minister in song. May they know the help and the blessing of God upon them.
and the messages that they would bring. May they be a blessing to all who would listen this evening, we pray. Lord, as we come also to thy word, to read thy word and to preach thy word, we pray for the infilling of God the Holy Ghost, the help of thy Spirit. And Father, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word by the Spirit of God to our hearts and to our souls as thou would see our particular need. Father in heaven, we do confess our sins before thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. And Father, we pray for that fresh infilling of the Spirit of God and with power to serve thee and to live for thee in these days in which we live. Again, Lord, we commend all connected with our congregation to thee tonight. We pray for the elderly, the shut-ins, those that are shielding, those that can no longer come to the house of God. And Lord, we pray that thou will bless them and minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine. Remember others who are ill at this time, Lord, going through treatment and commencing treatment. And we just pray for them that each one will know thee coming alongside, that thou will give them help and strength from the sanctuary of God. We thank thee, O God, that our times are in thy hand. And Father, we pray that thou would bless and meet the need at this time with our sickness and illness, we ask. We pray again, Lord, for those who mourn and grieve, who have suffered loss in recent times. We pray that they will know the comforting hand of God, that thou wilt be their helper and be their strength. Remember the work of our Sunday school, our Bible class. Remember each teacher, our youth fellowship. We pray for the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Bless the DVDs as they go out around the homes and as the word would go out to the children, indeed to parents as well. And Lord, remember also our brother Colin and his outreach, Lord, for thee. And remember all our families connected with us here. Keep thy protecting hand upon them, each one at this time, from this virus, we pray. And Father, we pray that thou would unite our families and our family circles in the Lord. We pray tonight for thy blessing upon every faithful servant of God. Wherever the word of God is faithfully preached, that thou would bless it, that thou would own it, Lord. You've said that thou would be pleased to save souls, Lord, through the foolishness of preaching. And Father, we pray that thou would bless thy word to this end. Again, Lord, put thy restraining hand upon this pestilence at this time. Father, we pray for those that are ill with it, that they will know healing. Those that have suffered loss, that they will know great comfort. And Lord, those in our medical services dealing with it every day, give them strength and protection, Lord, we pray. Give our government also wisdom in dealing, Lord, with the situation. And Father, we pray that even throughout our land and throughout our nation, that there would be that turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord, we pray. Remember our missionaries tonight at home and abroad, and those that are maybe far from home and family and loved ones. Lord, bless them, we pray. Bless thy cause right across the world at this time. We thank thee that thou art sovereign in all these affairs, that thou art upon the throne, and that thou art working out, Lord, thy purpose for this world. We thank thee for that time when Christ shall come again in power and in great glory. And Father, we pray that even many will prepare for that day, even tonight, by coming and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Do bless us now, we pray, in the remaining part of this meeting. And everything that is said and done, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified, that hearts will be blessed, O God, and that thy word will be with power and with challenge and blessing to all our hearts and souls. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, we're very glad to have with us tonight the Foy family from our own congregation here in Bethel. We've always enjoyed their singing in the past. We're glad they've been able to come tonight and to sing for us in this gospel meeting. We're going to ask now the family to come and bring their first message and song, please. Thank you.
My sins away, and I rise in a brand new song.
special thank you again to the family for coming and singing. And our prayer is the Lord will bless that message to your heart. Praise God for the debt that Christ paid for us guilty sinners upon the cross. If you are to be saved, you need to come to rest and to trust in that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And the family will be coming later on as well to sing for us again in the gospel. If you've got your Bible with you, we would encourage you, wherever you are, to turn up the scriptures. We have two Bible readings tonight. The first one is from Matthew's gospel, chapter number 27, Matthew chapter 27. And we're reading just a few verses from verse 41 through to the end of verse number 44. And then our second reading is from Luke's gospel, chapter number 23. And we're reading from verse number 39 down to the end of the verse number 43. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of His Word to our hearts. These readings concern the crucifixion of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross. We're reading, first of all, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27, and beginning our reading at the verse number 41 of that chapter. And it says, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." Then we're turning over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, beginning a reading at the verse number 39. It says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 43. And our prayer is that God will richly bless this public reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, we're going to ask again the Foy family to come and bring their final message and song, please.
I
And a special thank you again to the Foy family for coming and singing. We've been richly blessed through that ministry and song, and our prayer is the Lord will bless it to your heart tonight. Praise God, when you're saved, you can look forward to a mansion in heaven and a mansion in glory. And we do thank Raymond and Jenny and the girls for singing. Our prayer is the Lord will richly bless them also as they would sing for the Lord, and that the Lord's hand would be upon the girls for good. Now we're going to turn again, please, to God's Word, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier. And we're going to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 tonight. That's the passage of Scripture we're going to be looking at. But before we come to consider God's Word, let us just unite our hearts together in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already tonight in our meeting. We thank Thee for the ministry and song, and bless these messages to every heart. Bless those that have brought them, O God, we pray. We thank Thee for the great mansion and glory that Christ is preparing for His people. And Father, our prayer is for all who would listen in online this evening, that they would indeed be prepared for heaven and have that great assurance of a mansion and glory and of being with Christ forevermore. Bless us now as we turn to Thy precious and holy Word. Give help tonight, Lord, in the preaching of Thy Word. Lord, pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon all those who would hear alike, we pray. And even through the going forth of Thy Word, may some soul or souls this night be made wise unto salvation. Give help, give wisdom, give guidance, give right words, O God, we pray. Grant us the mind of Christ for this meeting, we pray. For we ask all these things in the Savior's great and wonderful name. Amen. Now, the verse of Scripture that I want us to look at this evening is Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and the verse number 43. I read that verse with you again, and it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And this verse really tells us about the second cry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken to that place called Calvary, outside the city of Jerusalem. And there he has been crucified between two malefactors, all in accordance with God's prophetic word. You remember back in Isaiah chapter 53, in the verse number 12, what it says in Isaiah's prophecy there about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And there we see that the crucifixion was all in the great plan and purpose of God. Who were these malefactors? Well, they were common criminals of the day. They were those who had broken the law of the land. They had broken the law of God. And for this, they were sentenced to death by crucifixion. Now, initially, both these thieves, they mocked Christ and they scorn Christ. And you see that from our earlier reading tonight in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Those verses that we read to you, verse 41 to verse 44, speak of the people around the cross that day mocking Christ. And so did also these two thieves. Look at verse 44 of Matthew chapter 27. It says, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." They both initially mock and scorn and ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. However, as the crucifixion progresses, the Word of God shows us that indeed a glorious and indeed a mysterious change is wrought in the heart of one of these thieves, one of these malefactors. And that change is wrought by the Spirit of God. This particular malefactor, he sees himself as a sinner before God. He sees his need personally of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and consequently, he asks the Lord to save him. And you see that prayer in particular in the Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, in the verse number 42, where it says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Christ replies to this prayer by saying in the words of our text in verse number 43,
Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Christ gives this man a blessed answer. Indeed, it is a wonderful word of assurance, the blessed assurance of his salvation. And that day at Calvary, yes, one of these thieves is saved by the grace of God, but sadly the other thief perishes and is lost in a sin. Indeed, the salvation of this thief really shows us that the very worst of men can be saved in a moment of time. Bear in mind who this man was. He was a criminal. He was one whom society really would have turned their back upon. Yet he was saved in a moment of time. Yes, we can say the worst of men can be saved in a moment of time. Yes, it even would show to us that it is indeed possible for a man to be saved on his very deathbed. Here was a man, really, and he was living in his final moments upon this earth and upon this scene of time. However, it also shows that no one can presume on a deathbed repentance. Friend, as you listen tonight, do not presume on a deathbed repentance for you. Why do I say that? Because, yes, one of these thieves was saved that day of Calvary, but sadly, the other was lost. The other perished in a sin without hope, without God, and without Christ as Savior. He perished without any assurance of salvation whatsoever. And tonight in this season of gospel preaching, I want us just to look in particular at the second cry of Christ from the cross. Verse 43 of Luke chapter 23, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Yes, we have here a word of assurance, the assurance of this man's salvation. There are three things I want you to notice here about this assurance of salvation for this man from the very lips of Christ, the Son of God. You will notice, first of all, that the assurance of his salvation was preceded by the repentance of the thief. Yes, this assurance of salvation was preceded by the repentance of the thief. And you see his repentance outlined for us in verse 41 of the chapter, where he says to his friend who's crucified beside him at Calvary, he says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss." And there you see record of this man's repentance. You will see here that in his repentance, this thief, he acknowledges his sin. For indeed he says to his friend, "We receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man," that's the Lord Jesus, he says, "have done nothing amiss." Indeed, as this thief, as he thinks of Christ, indeed as he compares himself to the sinless Christ of God, he says to his friend that their crucifixion is their just desert for their deeds. It is their just reward for his own sins and his waywardness and his wrongdoing before Almighty God. He acknowledges sin. He sees himself as a sinner before God. And owning his sin, this thief, yes, does so in the very presence of Christ, the Son of God. As Christ is crucified beside him, here he is confessing his sins to Christ in the very presence of Christ, to the very ear of Christ, the Son of God. Can I say this is how it must be for all whom the Lord will save? Yes, there must be repentance from sin. Salvation involves repentance from sin. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." If a person is to be saved and converted, there must be repentance from sin in their life. Lest, like this thief here who was crucified beside the Lord, they must acknowledge and confess their sin if they are to be saved. Yes, like this thief, they must confess their sins to the Lord, to the Lord himself. Friend, as you would listen to this very message tonight, whoever you are, whatever your background is, if you are still not saved, you remember this, that to be saved, you must repent of your sins before Almighty God. The Bible says, "God now commendeth all men everywhere to repent." My, you must confess your sins before the Lord. The Bible says that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The Bible makes it very clear that you're not saved by confessing your sins to the minister. It's not by confessing your sins to the minister or the pastor or to a priest or to some other religious leader. No, you must confess your sins to the Lord. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You must confess your sins to the Lord. Yes, before the Lord, you must own your sin. Before the Lord, you must own the fact that you're a sinner before Almighty God. That is how it was with the psalmist David. Listen to what David says before the Lord in Psalm 51, verse 4. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He admits, he acknowledges, he confesses his sin there to the Lord. And that's what this thief did. He confesses his sin before the Lord and to the Lord. If you are to be saved, whoever you are, you too need to confess your sins to the Lord. Think of the publican that Christ tells us about in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18, who cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He acknowledged his sin before God. He confessed his sin to the Lord. You turn with me in your Bible this evening back to the prophecy of Hosea in the Old Testament. The Old Testament book of Hosea, near the end of the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. And turn to Hosea chapter number 14, the very last chapter of the book. And if you turn to verse number 2 of that chapter, here you'll see how you must confess your sins to the Lord if you are to be saved. It says there in Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, it says, take with you words. It says, turn to the Lord. That's what repentance is, a turning away from sin and a turning to the Lord. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. It speaks there of the sinner confessing their sins to the Lord, turning to the Lord, turning away from sin and turning to the Lord and owning and acknowledging their sin to the Lord. That's what this thief did. He received, yes, a blessed assurance of salvation from the lips of Christ, but that assurance of salvation, it was preceded by repentance on the part of the thief. He acknowledges his sin to the Lord. He confesses his sin to the Lord. You think tonight of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Dear friend, let me ask you tonight, have you ever carried your sins to the Lord in prayer? Have you ever carried the awful burden of your sin to the Lord? Have you ever acknowledged the fact to the Lord that you're a sinner, lost and undone before the Almighty God? Have you ever confessed your sins to the Lord in prayer? This is what you must do if you're to be saved. This is what is involved in repentance before Almighty God. This was the mark of this man's repentance. He admitted, he acknowledged his sin. He confessed his sin to the Lord. Tell me, have you ever owned and acknowledged and confessed your sin to the Lord, not to others, not to man, but to the Lord? For it is the Lord, to him alone, that you and I must give account. The Bible says that you and I, every one of us, shall give account of himself to God. Have you ever given account of your sin to the Lord? This is what is involved in repentance. Yes, the assurance of this man's salvation was preceded, yes, by the repentance of the thief. But the second thing I want you to notice this evening is that this assurance of salvation was also preceded by the request of the thief. And you see his request there in verse number 42 of Luke chapter 23. It says, and he said unto Jesus, this is this repentant thief, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There you see his request to the Lord. There's a number of things here to notice about this man's request. You'll see here that this request really proves and it really shows that here was a man, this thief, and he believed in life after death. He believed in life after death. He knows that after this life, there is a heaven to be gained. Hence he prays this prayer, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here is a man, and he does not believe in the foolish notion of annihilation, that once a person dies, that's the end of them. Rather, by the illuminating power of God, the Holy Spirit, in his heart and life, this man, he realizes that there's more after this life. He realizes that he has an eternal soul. He knows that for him there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Friend, tonight as you listen, please also realize that you too have an eternal, never-dying soul in your being. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy body and soul in hell." And there the Lord warns you of the reality of your soul. He warns you of the reality of eternal punishment for your soul if you die in your sin and a lost eternity in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but lose his own soul?" You have a soul to be saved. There's more beyond the scene of time. You're not just buried like the beast and that's the end of you. Not at all. You have an immortal, eternal, never-dying soul. Your most precious possession. Think of what the Bible says about the creation of man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Yes, the Lord in his word says that you have an immortal, eternal, never-dying soul. And though, yes, your body will decay in death, understand this, that there is eternity after this life. This life is not the end. Death is but the vestibule, the entrance into eternity. The great ocean of God's eternity lies beyond the pale of this scene of time. And if you die unsaved, your soul will be lost in hell forever. Your soul will be cast into hell forever, that place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that judgment there warns you and I of the wrath to come, of the judgment of hell for sinners, unrepentant sinners before Almighty God who leave this world in their sin, unrepentant of their sin before Almighty God. You turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. You'll see here at the end of this chapter how Christ warns you of this awful punishment and judgment that awaits the sinner after this life, after this scene of time. Look at what he says in verse number 41 and the beginning of verse number 46 of Matthew chapter 25. It says, "Then shall he also say unto them on the left," and that's the unrepentant sinner, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." And here Christ speaks of the judgment of the unsaved after this life, after this world, after this scene of time. And friend, can I say, this is what will happen to you if you die unsaved. If you leave this world as a non-repentant sinner before Almighty God, your soul will be lost forever. Lost eternity in hell. It will be cast into outer darkness. A place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place of eternal fire and judgment and punishment for sin. This man, this dying thief, he realized this. He knew this is what awaited him should he die in his sin. An unrepentant sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Hence he makes this prayer. He makes this request to the Lord, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew that for him there was a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. It is said, whenever the famous infidel Francis Newport was dying, he said to those around him, he says, you need not tell me that there is no God, for I know that there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. You need not tell me that there is no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into the fire. He knew that this life was not the end. He knew that he was going to face God, his judge. He knew he was going to face the judgment of God and hell for his sin. This is what this thief realized. Hence he prays here, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But something else here just to notice about this man's request, and the request of this thief, it also shows here that he recognized and he realized that Christ was the Lord, and that only the Lord Jesus Christ had a power to save him. Hence he says, Lord, remember me. The Lord was crucified here on the cross beside him, and he turns to the Lord, and he says in faith to the Lord, Lord, remember me. He's asking here the Lord to save him. He doesn't cry out to the soldiers that day. He doesn't cry out to others that were gathered around the cross that day. No. My, the focus of his prayer and the focus of his faith is upon the Lord. He knew that Christ is the Lord, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he realizes and he understands in his heart that it is only the Lord that has power to save him and to redeem him. Hence he cries, Lord, remember me. He seeks the Lord here for salvation. Yes, that day was decreed by God that Christ, the sinless Son of God, should die an atoning death on the cross for sinners. It was all in the plan and the decree of God from eternity past. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says he is the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation really means the means of appeasing the wrath of God that is against us for our sins. John says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is mighty to save. It is mighty to save a world of lost, guilty, dying sinners. And my, that this thief, he knew that he must trust in Christ for salvation and for pardon. He knew that only the Lord Jesus Christ was his hope for eternity. Hence he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. A dear friend tonight, whoever you are, wherever you are to be found, please understand that you too must trust in Christ. You must trust him as Savior. If you're to be saved from hell, if you're to be saved from your sins, if you're to be saved from a lost eternity, if you're to gain a place in heaven, if you're to have a mansion in glory, you must put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the only Savior. He is the only refuge for your soul. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you from your sins and the awful penalty and plight and ruin of your sins. My, all through this book, the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, the Lord called you to trust in him, calls you to repent of your sins and put your trust in him alone for salvation. That's the message of the Bible from cover to cover. Think of what the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. He says there, look unto me and and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. That means to look upon him with the eye of faith and put your trust in him alone for salvation. No matter who you are this evening, realize this, that you can only gain salvation. You can only experience and know the blessings of God's salvation in your heart and life and soul through faith in Christ and in his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, the assurance of this man's salvation was preceded by his repentance. It was preceded also by his request of faith when he looked to the Lord and trusted in the Lord. But notice one final thing here, that this assurance of salvation, it shows a loving response from Christ. It shows a loving response from Christ. And in love, you see this response, this love of Christ to this penitent, this repentant faith who trusted in him for salvation. And you see that response of love in the words of our text this evening in verse number 43 of Luke chapter 23, where it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily," in other words, this is something absolutely sure, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." There you see the loving response from Christ to this man, this penitent of faith who trusted him for salvation. You will see that in this response there is the promise of heaven. For Jesus says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And that really shows to us here how the Lord saved this man that day. For the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The thief called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard him. For it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He was saved there and then on the spot. Moment of time. This response also shows us that this man's sins were all forgiven by God. Think about that. This thief, this criminal, this malefactor who was really frowned upon by society. He was saved in a moment of time. In a moment of time, all his sins were forgiven by God. Why do we say that? Because the Word of God makes it very clear that no unrepentant sinner, no unforgiven sinner will ever enter into heaven, never have a place in heaven. What does Christ say in Luke chapter 13, verses 5 and 7? He says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And if a person is to be saved in heaven, they must repent of their sins. That was the case with this dying thief. He repented of his sins. And again, think of what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 about heaven. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Now that really means that no unrepentant sinner, no person whose sins are not forgiven by God will ever be in heaven. They will never have the assurance of a home in glory. But this wasn't so with this thief. For Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And what does that prove to you and I? That he repented of his sins and that all his sins were forgiven by God. And friend, the Lord can save you in a moment of time if you call upon him. And the Lord can forgive all your sins in a moment of time if you trust him for salvation. This response also really shows us as well that there's no such a place as purgatory. For you notice the word there, "today." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That very same day, that very day, this thief, he was to enter into heaven when he departed this world and departed the scene of time, when he breathed his last breath. The soul went up into heaven, up into glory. You see, there's no such a place as purgatory. There's no in-between place between this world and between heaven. Friend, let me say to you this evening that the teaching of purgatory by Roman Catholicism, it's a false teaching. It's not true teaching. It's not in accordance with the Word of God. It is the lie of the devil. No amount of money, no amount of works, no amount of prayers can purge away your sins, or indeed purge away my sins. Your sins can only be purged away by faith in the sacrifice and in the atoning blood of Christ. There's no such place as purgatory. It's not in the Bible, not in the Scriptures. That very day, that penitent thief who trusted the Lord was to enter into heaven. He was to enter into glory when he breathed his last breath and his soul departed from his body. The soul went into heaven, went into glory. And your sins can only be purged away by the blood of Christ. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, your sins can only be put away before God, not by your works, not by any rite or ceremony of man, but by the blood of Christ. Turn with me in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, and look at verse number 3. Here the writer to the Hebrews is speaking to us about Christ and what he has accomplished for those who trust him as Savior by his sacrifice upon the cross. What a statement here he makes about Christ in Hebrews 1 verse 3. He says of Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, in other words, the brightness of his Father's glory. You see, Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Notice these words. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice those words in particular. When he had by himself purged our sins. And that speaks of the purging away of our sins by his sacrifice, by his shed blood. The very fact there that it says of Christ that he is now sat down at the right hand of the majesty and how it shows to us that his work of redemption is complete, is finished. All that was needed for the purging of away our sins was in and through his once for all sacrifice upon the cross. When he poured out his life unto death. Dear friend, the message of the gospel is this: the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, all your sins, whatever those sins are, shall be purged away. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, that's our confess our sins to the Lord, trust him as Savior, it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think of what the hymn writer says, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. That was the testimony, surely, of this penitent thief who trusted the Lord that day of Calvary. I was listening recently to a testimony of another brother in the Lord who lived a very wild, reckless, ungodly, sinful life. Yet the moment he trusted the Lord for salvation, he had that blessed assurance in his heart that all was well with his soul. And his sins, though many, were washed away and forgiven by Almighty God. And friend, that's what the Lord can do for you. No matter who you are, no matter what your sin is, no matter what your sin has been, the Lord can forgive and blot out all your sins. He says to those who trust him, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my name's sake. Then something else here to note about this response. It also shows that this thief, he would be in heaven, and notice in particular with Christ. He would be in heaven with Christ. Christ says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That very day he would enter heaven. And there he would enjoy eternal, unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ for forevermore. This is what makes heaven so special for the child of God, that in heaven they have eternal, unbroken, pure fellowship with the Lord for all of eternity. They go to be with Christ, those who leave this world who are saved. Yes, and in heaven there is no death, there is no sin, there is no sickness, there is no night. The curse of sin is removed. In heaven, Christ will be the center of all attention and the center of all attraction. And the Lord gave this man that blessed assurance. He says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Paul spoke of this very desire in his own life. As he writes his letter to the church at Philippi, he spoke of his desire. He says, "To be with Christ, which is far better." Again, speaking of all those who are saved, the Bible says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." The believer will be with the Lord forever and ever in heaven. You think of what the psalmist says in Psalm 73, verse 24. He says to the Lord, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Oh, the great blessing of being saved. Now, the Bible says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." And when a saved person leaves this world, it is well with them, it is well with their soul, because they go to be with Christ forevermore. What an assurance this man received this day. Remember, he was crucified. His hands, his feet were nailed to the cross. There wasn't one work he could do. He could not even join the church or do any work physically for the Lord, for he was in his final moments, yet the Lord showed him great mercy. The Lord showed him great grace. When he trusted the Lord forgave all his sins, washed away his sins in his precious blood, gave him the blessed hope, the blessed assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven with Christ forevermore. Dear friend, if you too repent of your sins and come by faith to Christ, come just as you are, trust Him to be your Savior, then one day you too will go to heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. What a difference from spending eternity in a lost sinner's hell. What a difference. Listen to the words of Christ in John chapter 6, verse 47. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." That's what the Lord offers you tonight if you trust Him as Savior. He offers you the great prize of everlasting life, a home in heaven. You compare that with what is said also in John chapter 3, verse 36, where it says there, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Here were two men crucified beside the Lord. One was saved, one was lost. Why was one of them saved? Because he repented of his sin. He realized his need of Christ. He put his trust in the Lord. And he was assured of a home in heaven when he would die, leave this world. You think of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, "Turn and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then shall your joyous answer be, saved throughout all eternity." Unsaved friend, whoever you are, if you turn away from your sin and turn to Christ, trust Him as Savior, then one day you will be with Christ in the paradise of heaven forevermore. Turn just with me in closing in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 2 and the verse number 7. And here the Lord really is speaking to all who are saved, all who have trusted Him, and all who will trust Him for salvation. In Revelation chapter 2 in the verse number 7, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Who are those there that overcome, that the Lord is speaking about? Speaking there of the saved, the repentant sinner who trusts the Lord. They will receive a place forevermore in the paradise of God, in the heaven of God, to be with Christ forevermore. Friend, this can be your portion tonight. This can be your hope tonight. If you'll come by faith, just like that dying thief did many, many years ago, and put your trust in Him whom to know is life eternal. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for the record of this dying thief and his conversion, his assurance of a home in heaven, for the record of his faith and his repentance of sin. Lord, bless thy word to all who have heard tonight, and for any who have listened to your word unsaved, still without God, without hope, without Christ, without salvation. Lord, speak to them. Awaken them, Lord, to flee from the wrath to come by thy Spirit and grace, just as thou didst deal with this man many years ago. May they come in faith and in repentance and trust Christ and have the blessed assurance of a home in heaven. Here in heaven, thy dwelling place, bless thy word to all our hearts tonight. Watch over us, Lord, in the week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be our portion now and always. Amen.